Hey, I'm Natalie Abbott.
And I'm Vera Schmitz. We are sisters who host the Dwell Differently podcast.
We help you memorize and meditate on one Bible verse every month. And all month long on our podcast, we talk about what that verse means, why it matters, and how we can apply that verse to our daily lives. Welcome back to the Dwell Differently podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Abbott. And today we are talking about treasure. We are talking about the things that we value, the importance that we place on things, and what that means in our hearts and in our allegiances, the things that we give ourselves over to, the things that we even serve and love. So our verse that we're memorizing this month, it's from Matthew 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's the words of Jesus. It comes from the Sermon on the Mount. And today, as we go through our teaching episode, we're going to talk about what those words mean in their context. So we're going to kind of look through a couple of high points in Matthew, and specifically in chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says this. And what can we learn about the things that we treasure? What does Jesus tell us we should treasure? And what is the reward of putting our treasure or our value in the right place? So that's what we're looking at today. And I'm going to give you this quote from Martin Luther before we get started, because I just think it's a really valuable thing to think about. He said this: whatever man loves, that is his God, for he carries it in his heart. He goes about with it night and day. He sleeps and wakes with it, be it what it may, wealth or self, pleasure or renown. All right, guys. That is some heavy stuff. What a man loves, that is his God. So what is it that we love? What is it that we're treasuring? Is it God? Is God actually our God? And I think this verse is a really great diagnostic verse when you think about, as you're memorizing it and meditating on it, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Just as you think about, where do I want my heart to be and where is it actually? Is my God actually my God? Is my treasure actually God? Or when I look at my life, do I see other things sort of rising into that position above God? I recently had a conversation with a friend who was really struggling with treasuring the wrong things. And I actually quoted this verse with her and talked with her about how when we place our treasure in earthly things, when we place our treasure in things that aren't capable of being a God in our life, that aren't capable or powerful enough or good enough or right enough or true enough to fully fill up our hearts and make us happy, we experience this emptiness and this dissatisfaction, because there really is only one thing that our hearts can safely be entrusted to, and that is the Lord. So let's look and see what we can see about this. But before we get started looking in Matthew, I just want to remind you of a verse from Proverbs 4:23. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So in a biblical idea of the heart, it's sort of the seat or the center of the person. It's the thing from which all of our life flows. And therefore, we need to be really careful. We need to guard our hearts. We need to protect our hearts. We need to make sure that we're putting the right things into our hearts. So let's do this quick flyover in Matthew and look at what Jesus says in Matthew and what Matthew says in Matthew, how we see sort of the fuller picture of this idea of treasure. What do we value? What is important to us? And therefore, when we look at that, it helps us really apply this verse to our lives as we are memorizing it and meditating on it. So the first place that I want to go to in Matthew's narrative is Matthew chapter 4. This is right after Jesus is baptized and he goes out into the desert. And it says that the devil tempts him three times. And each time he responds with scripture. And I just want you to recall with me what that third temptation of the devil is. Let me read it to you. Matthew 4:8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So Jesus is being tempted by Satan with the splendor and the glory of the kingdoms of the world, like the greatest treasures. And Jesus says, get away from me, Satan. We are only supposed to worship the Lord and serve Him. So Jesus says, God is our treasure. God is the one that we should be serving. And so we see Him pick up that thematic in the next chapter, in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount. He gives you this contrasting way of living. You can either love and serve God and make Him your treasure, or you can follow your own way, do your own thing. And we see in the Sermon on the Mount these two different types of living. We see the idea of light versus darkness. We see salt and that it's preserving life and good. And yet if the salt loses its saltiness, if it stops being salty, it's no longer any good, right? And so you have these contrasting images throughout, including in Matthew chapter 6, this idea of two different kinds of rewards or two different kinds of treasures. And so he starts off in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, and he says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." And then he goes on to talk about three different ways that you can practice your righteousness: in giving, in praying, and in fasting. And in each of those instances, he actually repeats the exact same phraseology. And it goes like this: if you give, or if you pray, or if you fast in order to be seen by other people, he says, "Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full." So anybody who prays, fasts, or gives in order to be honored by others, that's the reward that they're going to get. That's the treasure. It's an earthly treasure. It's the honor and praise of mankind. But if you give, pray, and fast in secret, then your heavenly Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So that repeated language is a tell for us as readers that this is a really significant thing that Jesus is talking about, right? He's repeating those same words both times. Either they get this reward, or they get that reward, right? When it comes to giving, fasting, or praying. So if you want to get your earthly reward, it looks like this. If you want a heavenly reward, it looks like this. But the key idea is you can't have both. You either get a heavenly reward or you get an earthly reward. You either get the praise of mankind and that's all you're going to get, or you get the reward of heaven and the approval of your Father who sees what you're doing and says, "Well done." So those are the two kinds of treasures. And then we get to our passage where our verse is. And I'm going to read you really quick the section where we find it. It says in verse 19, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth." So there you have that earthly treasure idea, "where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So what we see here is two possible ways of living, right? And two possible rewards or treasures that we can possibly have. We either have an earthly reward and we have a heavenly reward. And if you look at that earthly reward, we notice that it is precarious. It is fallible. It is easily stolen or destroyed or broken. We cannot keep any earthly treasure. And for those of you who are kind of internalizing this and thinking about it, like, isn't that so true? Like that we say, you can't take it with you. Like eventually, no matter how much we pile up, no matter how much wealth we have, no matter what kind of prestige or renown, ultimately, none of that goes with us to the grave. It's all going to be lost, whether it's, you know, the market crashes and we lose our bank account, or whether it's something that we lose when we die. Like there's no possible way of taking an earthly treasure to heaven with us. There is no transfer of goods, right? There is no taking those things with us. And I think that when we think about this on a personal, emotional level, it should be stark for us. This is a stark reality. One, it's a reminder that we need, right? That those earthly things are not a safe place for our heart, because our verse says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So if the things that we are treasuring are precarious, are easily lost, that are taken from us, they are not eternal, but temporal, then we're always going to be trying to guard them, right? We're always going to be trying to protect them. We're always going to be worried about them because there's no possible way that those are safe for us. Now, when we contrast that with what Jesus says about our heavenly treasure, we see a whole different concept entirely. He says in verse 20, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. This is the heavenly treasure that is eternal, that is lasting, that is not lost. We cannot lose it. That's the treasure that Jesus is telling us is the safe place for us to put our heart. Then he goes on and elaborates a little further in verse 24. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Okay, so in the passage where we find our verse, right, in those couple of verses, Jesus is talking about treasure. Like, he's giving us this idea of like money or earthly goods. And he's saying that those things we can lose, but heavenly things are eternal. Those are things that can't be stolen. They can't be taken from us. And he says, if you put your heart in this place, it's not safe. If you put it in this other place, it is safe. And then he gives us this other illustration about two masters. So Jesus says, the thing that we love, the place where we put our heart, what we treasure, is like a master. And no one can serve two masters. You either hate one and love the other, or you're devoted to one and despise the other. He says you cannot serve both God and money. And this is picking up on that thematic that we already have seen. You either get praise from men or praise from God. You either have earthly treasure or you have heavenly treasure. And Jesus says here, you can only serve one master. You're either going to serve God and his heavenly treasures, or you're going to serve money. That's the only option. We don't get to have like a little bit of God over here and some money sprinkled on top of that. We just get one or the other. So this is a really stark contrast. And throughout the Sermon on the Mount, we see this. You either live this way or you live that way. You either follow the Lord or you don't. And this is what your life looks like. And you get this very precarious, dark, kind of sinister almost view of what the rewards and the lifestyle of somebody who doesn't follow God looks like versus this beautiful, blessed, secure reality of somebody who follows Jesus. And if we read on, there's a section where Jesus tells people, don't worry about anything. He says, look at the birds, look at the grass. Do you see how God feeds them and takes care of them? And how much more does he care for you? Right? So he says this, but seek first the kingdom, God's kingdom, and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So these earthly treasures, if you focus the eyes of your heart on those things, if that is your goal, if that's your treasure, then you're going to feel really precarious. Like, what am I doing here? How am I going to keep this? How am I going to protect it? There's never been enough money to make a human being feel safe. And yet, if you seek God and you seek his kingdom and his righteousness, then all these things that you worry about, all these things that make you anxious, all of these earthly treasures will be given to you as well. Jesus isn't saying you don't have legitimate needs, that you shouldn't have money at all, or you shouldn't, you know, care for your children and treasure them in a way. But he's saying when your first treasure is the Lord, when your first treasure is his kingdom and his righteousness, then all these things will be added to you. You don't have to worry about them. Then he goes on in chapter 7 and says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. We have a good God, and he wants us to come to him and ask for things. He wants us mainly and especially to look to him and to ask him for the things we need. And what does he give us in return? He's waiting at the door, ready to give us every good gift, namely himself. He is the real treasure, and he is waiting for you. And when you keep your eyes focused on him, when you seek his kingdom, that is where we are safe. So, what's the message here for us? Stop seeking worldly treasures, but instead seek God and his heavenly treasures. So I have this question for you. Is your heart wrapped up in something right now that it cannot lose? Something that's lasting, something that's dependable, something that won't break it. Is your heart confident, rested, and secure? Is your heart set on the incorruptible, unfading, forever treasures of heaven? Or is your heart filled with something that it dreads losing? Do you feel precarious, like you're always having to control and protect that thing? Are you always worried about it, always wondering if something might happen? Is your heart set primarily on a treasure that is fading, that will fail you, and that is temporary? So my message for you right now is this: there is only one safe treasure, and that is our God. And so as you are reciting this verse to yourself this month, use it as a diagnostic. Use it to consider, what am I treasuring? For where your treasure is, Natalie, there your heart is also. Is it in a safe place? Am I treasuring the only one who loves me and who is secure? So that's my challenge for you as you say this verse to yourself all month long, as you memorize it and meditate on it. Use it as a diagnostic tool. And when you find yourself treasuring things, because ultimately we are all going to fail at this, we are all going to find ourselves all wrapped up and worried about earthly treasures all the time. But when we find ourselves there, there is mercy and there is goodness from the God who says, ask and seek, and you will find, and I will open the door to you. So there is always a forgiving and loving God who is ready to be our treasure and to be treasured by us and to give us every good thing we need. Thanks for joining me today. And I really just am praying for you all and for myself too, that we would be treasuring Christ above all things. Hey, are you loving this month's verse, but you want a little bit more? Let me tell you, every week we write a devotional email and we post it on our blog online at dwelldifferently.com. And you can also sign up with your email there to get it every single Monday in your Monday morning email. Just a little devotional to get your week started off right. So go over to dwelldifferently.com and sign up for our weekly email.